Ferreira finds Alonso. Two in the middle. Alonso with the tap back. Equaliser for Mason Mount. Oh, that's a penalty. 2-1. Yeah. You don't save those. Chelsea have turned it round.
Penalty.
It is. Yeah. It is. Oh, wow. It's stoppage time. Jorginho against Bellier.
What's up, Blues fans? Brendan London here, and it's time to welcome you all to another edition of the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast. We are the official Chelsea FC podcast, and with that said, I'm coming to you from New York City, and I got my friends with me, so they're going to introduce, but we are man down this week.
We are. We're thinking of Lee Parker, who is down with COVID, on the mend. We hope for the best, but we'll be carrying this for him. But I'm Emily, and I'm living my best hockey reporter on the road life, because right now I'm in a hotel room in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Fantastic. I am Andre Carlisle. I am in the DMV, and also wishing Lee well. Get well soon, my man.
Get well, Lee. We miss your turtlenecks, and we miss your stories.
Sparkling water and cans.
Sparkling water, cans.
So
we just miss you overall, Lee. I'm still riding this high of emotions from this weekend in a historic rivalry against Leeds. I mean, we've got a whole lot to dig into when it comes to that match. I mean, can we say instant classic? Plus, a Chelsea standout this season is joining us. We got Malang Sarr, and he sat down with Lee and Emily. This was prior to Lee being out. And they talked everything for what Chelsea can achieve this season, his excellent English, and what his favorite books and music are. You don't want to miss it. Without further ado, let's go Blues. So let's take a peek on what went down over the weekend, and we have the next man up. Andre, you want to kick it off for us?
As Brandon mentioned, it was a 3-2 win, a dramatic 3-2 win over Leeds by Chelsea men. And then Chelsea women had a really weird one against Reading. It was really kind of unfortunate. Could have maybe seen it coming, but I hoped it wasn't coming, but it came. But anyway, let's kick it off with talking about the Chelsea men's team and their 3-2 win over Leeds, because I got to be honest with you guys. It's really funny to be like, from the team that brought you defenders scoring goals, our left-sided center back winning two penalties to win the game. Like, that's just so fun for me. How did y'all experience that? Because I thought it was amazing.
It was stressful, is how I would put it. Might have aged me a bit. And I think back to last year and our nightmare of Christmas, right, where we were top of the table, and in a matter of weeks, we tumbled down to 10th place, and it just felt like things spiraled out of control. And that just reminded me that even if a win is ugly, a win is a win is a win. And it's so great that we came out on top. But yeah, the penalties, man, like, we can't live or die on them, but it's so great that we've got guys that can connect. I just wanted to talk about, honestly, Mason Mount has become such a stabilizing force for our team. His goal, once again, was just electric. It was just what we need before the half. And his celebration, silencing the crowd, it just showed the swagger that he has and the confidence level that he's performing at right now.
I mean, if you think about it, 10 goals, 10 assists this season. When you think about this roller coaster ride that Chelsea, that we've had this season, and us hitting this adversity period in the middle of the season, he has been a constant. He has been, I believe, in my opinion, the most consistent player on this squad, one of the most consistent players in the Premier League. Mason Mount, ladies and gentlemen, has been unreal. And I mean, you just think about Alonso, who won that ball, and then that low cross in there, and Mason Mount just being a man of the moment and keeping his head down and scoring that goal at that moment. And like you said, Emily, gushing the crowd at that time, it's what we needed. And that right there, that moment right there, I believe was a defining moment, because it gave the place life. It breathed energy into that Stamford Bridge crowd.
You know, this game, it felt like a continuation of the last few, where there's just some mental mistakes that we're making. It felt like a little frenetic. But I actually had a question for Andre, because as you guys know, I'm pretty new to following soccer. And so I'm trying to figure out the formations and everyone's role. And in this game, Andre, it felt to me like Reece James was given more liberty to run around there and get out of position. Like, were they doing something different with him?
Yeah, I think over the past couple of weeks, it seems like Thomas Tuchel's been saying he wants the wingbacks to tuck inside, and it's really to overload sides. And obviously, you still have to protect the flank, but that's why you see so many other, like, the center backs kind of acting like wingbacks from time to time. You know, that's why Rudiger's getting up so high when that space is there to get high. So, yeah. I think it's really awesome. I know that Reese was kind of forced into a midfield duty a couple games ago, and he does well there. He has played there before. And so it's really, really smart, I believe, by Tuchel to be able to say, you know what, you can play in these areas. So tuck inside if you see the space to be able to do so. Like, width is important, but we can get that width from a number of different players. Of course, the key is still making sure you remain defensively solid.
I'm like you, Emily. I'm trying to learn like the tactics, your knowledge being in hockey, mine being in football. We can see the game within the game that's being played. What I'm learning, we're playing these teams. One, they're dropping a lot of people back in that defending third, or in this case, in the middle of the field to try and stop a certain player or try and stop a certain player on how he dictates a certain play. Because of like how the Leeds was playing, Alonso had space to run on the outside, which is like a rare occurrence. And then the low cross, obviously, that he put in to mount. So it's trying to learn these things, trying to learn the tactics and seeing the game within the game, the X's, the O's, and the Y's, why a player is doing something. But again, there's nothing like that moment of Mason Mount scoring, a huge moment like that for the equalizer, especially going into halftime. If we went into halftime down 1-0, I think at that confidence level would have been completely different. What do you think, Andre?
I think all of the goals were obviously really important. You know, you only ended up winning 3-2. And, you know, you really needed that goal because for large stretches of the game, you're playing very well. And we've kind of seen that before. You know, that's kind of been the run here. And why I haven't been too worried, but obviously drop points are concerning in the end. But you haven't been too worried because the performances are good. I think that this is just one of those periods of time where you just got to get the points any way you can. Shout out to Jorginho for converting two penalties.
It was a tough game and against a tough opponent. But I think we deserve to win because we did our job. We pushed until the end. We believed in what we were doing. We believed in our team. And I think we deserve to win.
I presume you've been practicing your penalties at Cobham like you normally do. First one, beautifully in the top corner. When you get to take a second in a game, what goes through your mind? Do I go the same way? Does the goalkeeper think I'll go the same way? What do you do? When
I can't
you
answer
second?
That. I just clear my head.
Did you choose at the moment or did you already decide?
I can't say to you. I can't tell you. Leave me alone about this, about penalty.
Jorginho, take that to the grave, my dude. Like, you don't tell nobody, but maybe your son if you want to. Going back to Emily's question, why I think Tuchel is kind of looking at, okay, normally in a 3-4-3, you only have two midfielders. Well, teams can very easily overload that, right? A 4-3-3 is a standard formation. 4-2-3-1 gets a lot of players in there potentially. So you can really get overloaded in the midfield. So being able to get players tucking inside to match up at least one-on-one or at least provide another passing outlet or just in order to stand in the way and be a defender, it's important. So I think there are some things that are being worked out, but overall, I think the performances have been mostly great. Let's put it that way.
Mostly great.
We have had some weird defensive lapses. I love Mason Mount's goal. I thought it was a really, really great read from Alonso, but I cannot let us talk any more about this game without talking about Tony Rudiger. We have to talk about Rudiger because he was so great in this match. I love it. The facial expressions, him just setting defenders up. When a center back gets up that high and plays in the box, they don't really have like the instincts to position themselves to make themselves hard to defend. But Tony did that twice and won two penalties that were crucial. I thought it was a brilliant, cheeky, but very fun performance from Tony Rudiger. I love it.
I mean, you just look at the end of the match. It was like a little skirmish went and broke out. Rudiger's right there in the thick of it. You know, Lukaku kind of had to grab him and hold him back. But that just shows what type of player he is, the energy and what he brings to the table when it comes to this team.
We got to talk about the ladies, though, because, Brandon, I know you would appreciate this as a former college football player. This, to me, felt like in college football, when you win rivalry week and the fans storm the field and it's huge emotion. And then the next week you're like, oh, it's a cupcake on the schedule and you lose. And it just sometimes can be that letdown in clockwork. And that's what happened to us against Reading. We go down 1-0, but the stats tell a totally different story. 77% possession. We had 34 shots, just not most on target. And Reading had four shots on goal, just four. But the key is one was on target. To me, though, Andre, because I know you follow this team closely, the key here was Emma Hayes made a lot of substitutions. I think she had five subs before the 77-minute mark, which is kind of rare for her. She usually sticks with her form. So What did you see in this match?
Yeah, this one was frustrating. And I do wonder, like you mentioned, equating it to college football, you do wonder if like the highs of winning a final, especially in the way, you know, we talked about it, that was a dominant performance against Arsenal. Doesn't change the fact that that was a dominant performance against Arsenal. A cup final is like an end of the season type of thing, right? You get to celebrate it. You know, it's only because of COVID that we had to postpone it and pick it back up this season when it should have been played at the end of last season. So you go on the high of winning that, and then you have to immediately get right into like mid-season grinds in the Champions League 3 days later, and then 3 days after that in the WSL. So I think this, the mindset you have to get into is completely different, and I think it showed, and that was really unfortunate. Like, we haven't seen this team, but even against Juventus and Reading, if you add it up, Chelsea has had 57 total shots, and only 9 were on target in that period. And that is not like Chelsea at all. Nor like getting the shots is, but having that few shots on target and 0 goals is not at all like this team.
I think it's important for the team to look at themselves too. Like, we are in this together in the good moments, and in the difficult moments like this, we have to acknowledge where we haven't been good enough, and we weren't good enough. I don't think we tested the keeper enough today. I think it's difficult when you've had so many games, and you know, we need the squad, the whole squad, to perform at the same level. And something that's, I think, difficult when some players haven't had as much minutes. But I think it showed today.
It's kind of unfortunate. But honestly, if you kind of looked at the way things were going, you could maybe expect it. And when that goal came so early, I was like, oh, that's the worst thing that could have happened.
It would be a disservice to our listeners if we didn't mention something else that happened with the Chelsea women this week, which is Sam Kerr and her perfect body check of that fan who went on the... Also, just the disrespect that there is for women's football still, that there is a loophole in the law per The Athletic where this fan can't get charged because it was a women's soccer match, which is just absolutely mind-blowing, especially last week in the context we're talking about how far we've come in women's football. That said, Sam Kerr, you can come on my hockey team any day. That was unbelievable. Just the composure, the form. Man, I want her as my teammate.
I'm sorry she can't go on your hockey team because we just signed her to the New York Giants. we need some defensive help. So
I think she's a strong safety if I've ever seen one.
And look, there would be no targeting penalty because she did not lead with her head. She came in perfect tackle form with the shoulder and just lit him up. My thing was, the security guards, he's on the ground. You got to grab him. You got to grab him then and there. But there's nothing this woman can't do. She is unreal.
Okay, Brandon, we want to hear about your tour to the U.S. because you've been everywhere in the last couple of days. We want some behind-the-scenes scoop.
The official supporters club tour, we just wrapped up this past Friday here in New York City. It was unreal experience. Just for the fact that, and I know I've kind of gave little nugget from the last couple of episodes, but I mean, we started off in Chicago to have the Champions League trophy there on Wrigley Field. We just had a really cool time with them. And then we drove up to Milwaukee, had a supporters group event there. The Milwaukee Blues came out. They brought the energy. It was my first time in Milwaukee as well. Like, you're just driving up from Chicago and then boom, there goes an IKEA. And then next thing you know, there goes a city. It's a huge IKEA too, by the way. But hanging with the Chelsea guys, we stopped at a Chick-fil-A on the outskirts of Milwaukee on the way back down to Chicago. That was awesome. They love some Chick-fil-A. Then we went down to Houston. The Houston Supporters Club, I mean, they brought all types of energy. They had so much love for Torre Andre Flo. He even had his own song. They sang his song when he came out. We had a real cool Q&A, had some good barbecue, of course. Atlanta, got a chance to go to Atlanta Braves Stadium in Stamford. Chelsea's mascot, got a chance to hang out with Blooper, which is the Braves mascot. That was a great time taking that tour. Philly, chance to have the Champions League trophy next to the Rocky statue. And that's the cool thing about what this tour did, is people from Milwaukee or Chicago, where you may not get a chance to go over to Stamford Bridge. You may not have a chance to ever see the Champions League trophy. Their faces when they're lighting up, taking pictures with it, taking selfies, you know, the supporters groups taking pictures as a whole next to Champions League trophy. Like, you see why people not only love this club, but you see why they'll wake up 5:30, 6:30, 7:30 in the morning to go watch a match. And then we ended it here in New York City with Chelsea Commission, really dope mural on the top of what's called the Ground NYC. Absolutely beautiful. Ashley Cole came up, hung out. played a little bit, played against FC Harlem, who's connected with Chelsea. And shout out to the New York Blues for the dope event, having that energy, because I want everyone to go check the Chelsea socials if you haven't had a chance to see the Instagram for the videos and everything that they put out. This tour was anything and everything. And I mean, Ashley Cole, just a real cool dude, man. Real cool dude. I'm sorry I don't sound like I'm bouncing off of walls and stuff now, guys, because that tour took everything out of me. But this was a good thing. You know, I'm glad I have no energy, because I really wanted to make sure I represented the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast right and give that energy to them then and have a great time. So everyone, I got a chance to handshake, meet all the supporters clubs out there. Can't wait till everyone puts together the trip to go over the Stamford Bridge, because we need to invade the UK. We're coming over, Lee. We're coming over. Now it's time to transition, because we got some predictions to make on both the men and women's side. And we've also got Malang Sarr coming up, so you don't want to miss it. But before we do, Wolves, Chelsea.
As long as we get two on the board, I think we'll be good. I like 2-1. I think that we still might have some defensive issues to figure out. But if we get some of these faces back and maybe a little bit of renewed enthusiasm after that big win on Leeds, we're back in the W column.
I'm hopeful. Put it that way. This period is always rough. I mean, it's basically a game every 3 days from now until basically the Christmas break. I think we get 4 days of rest once. So like we get spoiled one time. I'm feeling confident about this one. I hate doing score predictions. Y'all know that. I'm going to predict the return of clean sheets. We've missed them. They've eluded us. 2-0 Chelsea.
Let's go.
I'm going 1-0. They're throwing everything at us scoring wise. I want this to be the match. I don't think this is going to be the match. I'm learning 1-0 is not a bad thing. Before we were saying 5-0, or we would even be bold and be like, oh, we're scoring touchdowns against squads and all. But during this adversity period, a W is a W. 3 points is 3 points. I'm definitely going to stick with 1-0. And again, yes, we're back to the clean sheets. Get our confidence, our swag back. And that kind of would lead us into the Champions League.
We got Lille once. We got Lille twice. So we're meant to play Lille. That's just the way it goes. But here's how they explained it. After they did the first draw, which they had to redo, UEFA put out a statement that said, following a technical problem with the software of an external service provider that instructs the officials as to which teams are eligible to play each other, a material error occurred in the draw for the Champions League round of 16. As a result, the draw, has been declared void and will be entirely redone at blah, 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 and they give the time. All that for taking balls out of a pot. Like, it is hilarious, and I understand you have to do it correctly, but oh my God, there just has to be another way. Like, honestly, I know when we talked college football earlier, just make it a BCS system, right? Plug in the numbers and just tell us who plays who. This whole pulling balls out of a pot thing is just wild, but it's just one of those things that, like, how does this happen?
I let's go over to the women, Chelsea women versus West Ham predictions.
So I'm leaning 100% on Emma Hayes and how frustrated I know she's been after the final, you know, the high of the final. We know that Emma Hayes is an intense coach. The squad has been on its toes, I would say, in the buildup for these matches. I do think we get back to winning ways against West Ham. And I think the team's going to be very upset, very frustrated about how things have gone. So I'm going 3-0. I've got confidence Emma Hayes is going to have them ready.
I was going to say, I think they're going to channel all that frustration of, we dominated Reading. We had all these shots. Why weren't they on goal? They're going to get a lot of shots on goal. I think our defense is going to be sure. West Ham, like, right in the middle of the table, right on the women's side. So if we're playing middle of the table, we're excellent. That's mediocre. 4-0.
Don't forget to participate in the Play Predictor game on the Chelsea Fifth Stand app. It is bigger than ever with the 12 games of Christmas. Top the Play Predictor table for any given match, and you could deck the halls with prizes, including a signed mount shirt, ooh, Lukaku boots, ooh, a Nintendo Switch, ooh, a Xbox Series S, a Sonos speaker, and so much more. You get points by predicting the correct score, the timing of Chelsea's first goal, Chelsea's number of shots, the number of Chelsea corners, and more. You do not want to miss the festive fun. Listen to the prizes that you could win for yourself, for your kids, for anybody. That's unreal. So make sure you play Chelsea's Play Predictor on the Fifth Stand app.
I might have to change my name. These prizes are crazy.
I could, we were saying before, I might sign up as Andon Unden to try and get me a Xbox or something.
You know when you see someone from afar, someone famous, and you're like, oh, I think I know their personality, and then you meet them in person and they're exactly the same. And that's how I felt about Malang Sarr, because he just seems like someone who is so bubbly, so authentic, so hardworking and happy to be with Chelsea. And when Lee and I sat down with him, it felt exactly like that. His English is so impeccable. He did not make any fun of my French, which is even more impressive. But I love what he had to say about following American sports, specifically the NFL. Brandon, you're going to want to listen to what defensive players he likes. Also, what goes down on the team plane and just his experiences at Chelsea so far.
Malang, first of all, thank you so much for your time and being a part of our official Chelsea podcast. It's good to see you. How are you and how are you enjoying the Chelsea experience so far this season?
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm really enjoying the experience. It's been a moment that I've been waiting for a long time, and with the Blues and training and working hard and trying to achieve my goals and the club goals as well. So, yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it.
Malang, it was so cool to see you make your Premier League debut this season, but here in the U.S., maybe you have the same phrase over there. It was like baptism by fire because you were inserted in such a crucial match against Brentford. What was that like for you?
It was pretty amazing to have the chance to have my Premier League debut. And it was a really, really tough game and a really important game as well. We knew that this team, especially at home, they play really hard and they have a really strong team, and that it would not be like really easy to play against them. So a tough beginning for me, but really happy how we ended up. And I was really excited and really happy to be able to make my debut.
You're still so young, Malang. How much have you had to learn about the Premier League this year, and how much have you had to adapt your game?
The Premier League is really different from the other championship that I've been playing. Like the French championship is physical as well, but it's not as physical as the Premier League. Is really another level. So I had to adapt my game and myself to this kind of intensity, physicality as well. And I try to adapt myself. I keep trying to improve and be better every day. But I'm really, really enjoying it because the Premier League was the championship I wanted to play. And here I am, and I'm really, really happy to be here. I'm really grateful to have the opportunity.
Well, we're so happy you're here as a Blues supporter in the U.S. But I have to ask, you grew up in France and you began your career with Nice. How did you end up at Chelsea? Tell me about that journey.
I was born in Nice, so I played for the squad, for the club that I loved. It was my dream as a kid as well. So everything went like the way I wanted to. So I was really happy to make it to the first team and play for my club, the club that I really loved since I was a kid. And after that, years after years, I was playing well and like start being a really important player for the team. One day, my agent came to me saying that Chelsea could be a good opportunity for me to try. And as soon as he said that, it was a goal for me as a kid. So as soon as he said that, I didn't really took it seriously at the beginning, but after that, I knew that it would be something that I really wanted to do and could be a good fit as well for me. So as soon as he gave me the green light, I said, let's go. Let's try and let's see what will happen there.
It's interesting you spoke about your development, Malang, as a young defender, but you've not always played at the back, have you?
No. It's a pretty good story. I used to play striker till maybe 14 or 15 years old. I used to play forward, like maybe a left winger or striker as well. I played all the positions in front, and with the years and the coaches I've met, they tried me at certain positions, like when they would play a game against a local team, and our left back was missing. So I was the only left-footed player in the squad. So they asked me, I would play at this position if I wanted to. And I said, yeah, let's try. Let's see what I can do. And I finished by doing like one of my best games as a young player. And I ended up playing left back. And the year after, one of the coach came to me saying like, well, I want to try something with you. Let's play center back and see how it goes. And I ended up playing as well, a really, really great game. And from that, I'm centre back.
We have some amazing strikers at Chelsea, and I don't want to take anything away, but let's say we put you in at striker during a game, what would happen?
I'm not sure about that. But I can try, No problem. I like to score goals. I like to be in the area. So why not? Could be a good fit.
It's all right, Milan. Thomas Tuchel watches and listens to this podcast, so he'll hear it exclusively from you. In your natural position, Milan, you play with so many experienced players. How much have you learned from Thiago Silva, from Tony Rudiger, from Cesar Azpilicueta?
I'm learning every day from them, trying to adapt my game, trying to take all the strength that they got, all the things that they can give me each and every day in training or during the games, during the meetings. I'm just listening and trying to learn and improve every day, because I got a chance to have players that level and with that experience. So I need to take whatever they give to me, I need to take it and try to improve and put it in my game and try to get better and better every day.
I want to get to know you a little bit off the pitch. What's the one song on your phone that you'll listen to before a game, or maybe it's an artist that just gets you so amped up and so excited?
There's a couple of ones. I try to change it. It depends on the mood. If I need to get a bit angry before going on the pitch, or I need to be happy to enjoy the moment, but it can be some rap, some African music as well. The last game, I was listening to Burna Boy before the game.
Love Burna Boy. Oh, he made it over here in the US. We love him.
Yeah, really. That's good to know, because these days he's been one of the main artists I've been listening to, and I really enjoy his music. So before the game, it was about the listening Burna Boy and get ready for the game.
If you have to get angry before a game, what song is that?
I like to listen 50 Cent before the games. Rap music, bit of pop smoke as well. Gets me in the mood here.
Emily used the word angry. Then we had Kai Havertz on the first episode of the podcast this season, Milan. Uh-huh. And he told us that Christian Pulisic likes to listen to country music. That made him and Emily quite angry.
that's a different vibe. I knew about that. I'm used to hearing about Christian. I like his music. He can the same music, so I'm a bit surprised, but he never said that to me.
Very diplomatic. As I mentioned, we had Thomas Tuchel on the podcast as well not too long ago. Tell us about him as a manager and how you've developed under Thomas.
It's pretty easy to work with him, to be honest. When I first came, I saw directly that he wanted to help me, to know me first as a person, and then to work with me and see what he can bring to me in the field as a player to help me to improve. It's really, really easy to work with him because it's so simple and really, really honest. And that's what I'm looking for when I have a manager, to be honest with me, so I can improve as fast as I can, and just to let me know what I can do better, or what I can do on the pitch that can help the team. That's the main thing for me. And him being honest and being helpful, looking after me every day, that's a good thing for me. And I try to create something with the manager and make me grow every day and help me to get better and to play more and to be a really good player, and to have the level of ambition and to have that mentality that the club has, and to be a real Chelsea player.
You mentioned the word mentality. You've joined a group of winners, the Champions League winners. What is it like to be around a group of players that have that sort of that winning mentality day in, day out?
That's really, really, really good, because we see that every training, every session, every rep matter, and they take it really, really seriously. And you see, when you have people around you that are looking for perfection, as soon as you see that in the right way, you will improve. Because some people can be like, oh, they try to all the time to do everything good. They always want to have something perfect. But if you take it the right way, you feel like every day will improve, because taking it really seriously. When you have a rep, you do it 100% and you see the result after that. And there's no excuses, there's no complaining, because everyone wants to go to the same way. They know what they want and they know how to do it. So as soon as you get in that circle, that rhythm, it's really easy to match with the players and to understand the behavior.
We've spoken about the depth within this group in recent podcasts, Milan, and it's been really tested, hasn't it, recently, with the amount of injuries, and the fixture schedule is crazy, isn't it, with a game every 3 or 4 days?
Especially in December, this month, we're going to have lots and lots of games. The manager and the staff already spoke about it, to be careful about the recovery more than ever. take every session to recover, do the treatment, do everything to be fresh and to be ready, because there's a lot of games and we all need to be ready. I all need to be prepared whenever it comes for us to be ready, from the players that plays a lot of games, for the players that play less, just to be ready and be prepared to every situation, every game, just to help the team and like keep the momentum, keep the rhythm, and just keep winning games and be performing on the pitch.
When you have so many games, that also means so many plane trips. I'm curious, take me inside the Chelsea plane. What's going on? Are you guys playing cards? Is there someone who's always sleeping? Is there someone always playing music?
Some players that are scared of flying, like I say the names.
Very kind of you.
I like to play games with Callum and Hakim most of the time. I'm always sitting next to Edu. We have a really good relationship, so we spend a lot of time together. Antonio like to listen to music, just be on his own, listen to music. Some of the guys sleep all the time. Whenever there's a fight, they sleep. But there's a mix of everything. I like to watch movies, read a little bit as well. Christian is reading all the time. Every time I see him with a book. A couple of players that are doing their own thing, like on the laptop.
As you can imagine, Melang, there are lots of American fans very excited to hear from you. Are you a fan of any American sports yourself?
I'm watching like US sports all the time. Watch basketball and football all the time. I think I prefer football. I started watching football 2 years now, and now I know the rules and everything. I really love to see the games. On Sunday after the game, I just sit on the couch and watch games. But I follow basketball as well because I'm a big fan of basketball. But yeah, the sport in the US, I really enjoy watching. I got plenty of jerseys from players. Yeah.
What jerseys do you have? What guys do you like?
I got Aaron Donald jersey in the LA Rams.
Love it.
I got
he's a monster.
Von Miller. Yeah, he's a beast. He's a couple of defenders. I got Von Miller back in the Broncos jersey. Jalen Ramsey is a cornerback. He's more like my position. He's playing at the back. Randy Moss, the legend. Ray Lewis. I forgot that one. Sorry, Ray Lewis. That's my favorite one.
You love these defensive players. Big defensive players for you.
Yeah. Can't lie. I tried to take some of their skills or the behavior that they had on the field to match it on the football field.
Have you been surprised by just how popular Chelsea is internationally, especially in the US?
Yeah, I realized when I first came. I really realized how big the club is, like all over the world, because for me it was like big in Europe, big in England, in Africa as well, but I didn't know that it was in the US, in Asia, everywhere. Chelsea is one of the main clubs in football right now, and I was pretty surprised because I really thought it was just all over Europe and Africa, but now I realize worldwide.
You're winning friends stateside, Melang. I can feel it. It's exciting times, isn't it, to be part of Chelsea at the moment? I mean, what do you think is achievable for this group?
With the quality we have and the mentality, I think everything is possible this season. The squad that we have, the mentality, and we know that we can do it. We just need to make the effort and do the work and do everything that we can do to be able to achieve the goals. And I'm pretty sure that everyone is aware about there is a lot of things coming for us, really exciting. For me, they say in America, sky is the limit. So we'll see. Really happy and aware that we can do a lot of great things this season. So
your English, I have to tell you, it's amazing. And also, je ne parle français parce que je suis American et je suis stupid. So
no,
you're crushing
well.
Way better than I am.
Thank you. No, French is really good. I'm surprised. Really good.
What a kind man you are, Melang. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's been a hectic schedule. We'll let you get some sleep, but we wish you all the very best of luck for the rest of the season, my friend. And thanks again.
Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup.
All right, thanks so much to Melang Sarr. Merci beaucoup. He is just a bright light, and I cannot wait to see what his future holds at Chelsea. And don't you love the fact, Brandon, that he follows the NFL and is just collecting the jerseys of Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey because he loves that defensive style?
If you're going to root for two players, those are the two players to root for in the NFL. Absolutely. And it seems like he's got to think for LA, you know, with those guys being LA Rams. But got to give him some Giants gear. Got to give him some Giants swag. That's super dope. Great interview. Remember, you fans can find anything and everything on Chelsea through the Fifth Stand app. Remember, you can win some cool prizes. I saw that Xbox. I've been eyeing that Xbox. So don't forget to rate, subscribe, review, and tell your friends about the Chelsea Mic'd Up podcast. I'm telling you, we're official here. We've got access, and we want blue flags flying high across America. We want to thank you all again for joining us this week. We'll see you next week. Get well, Lee. Can't wait to see you drinking water out of a can in no time. Let's go, Blues.